I think. Historians have made a great deal out of this kind of sentiment and have argued that it really did undercut the Confederacy. I think it's easy to exaggerate the degree to which it existed, however. I think most women behind the lines and most men in the ranks just sort of gritted their teeth and kept at it. But many, many women did reach their breaking point. Mary Chestnut recalled one such woman, Mary Chestnut, the famous South Carolina diarist/memoirist. She recalled a woman waiting to speak to Jefferson Davis's wife, to Verena Davis, about her husband, this poor woman's husband. He had deserted to help his family, and then he'd gone to serve nearer home so that he could be within reach of helping his family. And one of his former officers found him, and this is what the woman told Mrs. Davis, as Mrs. Davis related it. She told her story simply, but over and over. The army had to pass so near her. Poor little Susie had just died, and the boy was ailing. Food was so scarce and so bad. All the children had chills. She was so miserable. The Negroes had all gone to the Yankees. There was nobody to cut wood, and it was so cold. The Yankees were coming nearer. I wrote, she said, if you want to see the baby alive, come. If they won't let you, come anyhow. That's how this woman explained what she had done to get her husband to come home. She was hoping that Verena Davis would be understanding about that. These Southern women left alone faced threats really from both armies, different kinds of threats, but threats, even a friendly army coming and staying near your farm for a short time could be disastrous because the odds would be that at least some of your livestock would be taken, some of your fences torn down for firewood, some of your crops disrupted. If the enemy's army came, of course, it could be much, much worse. And women were left alone to cope with this in many cases. Soldiers would strip fences, especially the enemy soldiers. They would rob the hen and smoke houses. They would plunder and destroy many homes. And not just the enemy, Confederate guerrillas, Confederate irregulars often preyed on Confederate civilians. In fact, there are many letters in the Confederate War Department from civilians who say, our own troops are acting in more obnoxious ways than the enemy. We fear our own irregular cavalry more than we fear the enemy. We fear guerrillas, our guerrillas, more than we fear the enemy. The old saw about burying the silver in the yard was largely true. Although federal soldiers usually found the treasure, often slaves would point it out where it was if there were slaves on hand to do it. And people don't usually have really imaginative places to hide things anyway. Soldiers became pretty adept at figuring out what the usual places for hiding valuables might be. Even those women who managed to save their property from troops might face the prospect of eviction by Army medical officers who wanted to use their quarters as a field hospital, or by an enemy officer who wanted to set up headquarters in a nice house. If you happen to be in a nice house, it would be all the more attractive to some officer who wanted a comfortable headquarters. Women wrote extensively in their diaries about the personal violation they felt upon contact with Union soldiers. This is one woman who captured the scene of soldiers rifling through the contents of one of her friends' homes. The daughter's hat and garments were placed on the floor and loathsomely polluted. They compelled her and her little daughter to remain and witness the destruction. And finally, when there was nothing more to break and steal, one of them approached Mrs. Clark and thrust his fist in her face. As she raised her head to avoid it, he struck her forehead, seized her by the throat, cursing her furiously. Seizing the neck of her dress, he tore it open, snatched the gold watch, which hung by a ribbon, tore it off, and left her. Another woman summed up the despair such events could bring. She wrote, "We're suffering from such lawless times as existed in the dark ages, but no knights errant rise up with the times to protect the helpless and redress grievances." There really was a sense of almost complete helplessness in the face of what the war was bringing to many people in the Confederacy. Many women became refugees, fleeing their farms and heading for places they thought would be more secure. Richmond swelled from about 40,000 in population in 1860 to more than 100,000 in the course of the war. Much of that is from increased industrial production, all kinds of defense-related workers coming in, but many thousands of those people are refugees who thought if any place would be safe, the capital of the Confederacy would be safe.